everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Welcome to Are You Real Linked? A journey together toward a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with others. Through teachings of prayer and faith, our common stories of business, relationships, and personal growth will give you the direction you need to truly feel linked with the lost, hopeless, and hurting to help restore your community. Now please welcome your host, Christy Austin.
Hey y'all, this is Christy Austin, and I am so excited to welcome you today to Are You Real Linked? At Are You Real Linked, we are really linking with the Holy Spirit and getting linked with each other really across the nation and probably across our world. Why? Because we really want to take our cities back for Christ. And how do we do that? Well, we know that we do that through the art of giving. And so I'm excited to share with you today a story of two city takers. But before we get into that, I really want to remind you that you can catch John Fuller's podcast, Are You Real Purpose? And that is released every single Wednesday. You can catch that on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you download your podcast from. And don't forget to check out areyoureal.org. where we are bringing on several new hosts to really tackle the different spheres of influence in our culture. And I have been so encouraged by each of these hosts and really just their skill and knowledge of each of their areas. So I invite you to tune into that with us. Today, I am so excited to introduce you to a very special guest, Steve and Amanda Pettit, out of Fort Worth, Texas. Hello to you guys.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good. We're doing really well.
Good. Well, I'm so honored to have you in the program. And Are You Real Linked? We've really been studying Luke 10 and the concept of the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord, which we know that's pray, to send the laborers into the harvest field. Go. Okay, and so we know that word go, of course, isn't, you know, sit in a pew on Sunday morning. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we're talking about going into our cities and going to the places where people don't necessarily even know or have a skill or a way to church. And so I'm so excited to get to hear y'all's heart. And I know you're really going after that in your own city and going to those people that wouldn't necessarily come to the church. And so first of all, could you just let us get to know you a little? And what city are y'all taking?
Right now, we're our focus with Mission 820 is Fort Worth, Texas. So we're focused on Fort Worth, and Mission 820 is the 820 loop that circles Fort Worth. And so it's really the inside of Fort Worth, downtown and that whole area. So that's our focus right now for Texas.
Great. That is so exciting. And can you just share a little bit about yourself? How'd you come to know Christ? Did that come through another city taker? Or what did that look like for y'all?
I was actually 15 years old, and I had never heard of Jesus before. And I was in high school, and a new neighbor moved in next door to us, and he was really cute. and he wanted to date me, and he was a Christian and came from a Christian family. And his mom said, "Well, son, if you want to date her, you have to bring her to church." And so I walked my 15-year-old self into a church for the first time, came to know Jesus, and have never turned back.
Awesome. That's great. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I was basically born in a pew, as they say, born into a Nazarene church, into a Christian home, and dated Amanda through high school. And then I graduated high school and went off to the Army and started really sowing oats that I didn't know I had to sow in a bad way. So I spent a few years just kind of living for self and not for Jesus. But man, when I was 21, the Lord got a hold of me through a number of events and just put me back where I was supposed to be, passionately loving him. And I've never turned back. I'm on fire, man. Jesus is awesome.
And we have three kids. Our oldest is 20 and she's at the university. And today is our son's 18th birthday.
Yeah.
He's our little miracle baby. He was 1 pound, 8 ounces when he was born. He was given an 11% chance of survival. And when he was 3 weeks old, they told us that they were going to remove him from all of the breathing machines and that we could hold him until he passed and they were going to give us an hour. So we did what we knew to do and we prayed, we hit our knees and that hour came and went and the last 18 years have come and gone and they're here today. And we also have a 16-year-old daughter who gets a driver's license next.
Wow. Well, I wouldn't have guessed that y'all have kids that old. You're so young looking and young at heart, but what an amazing story about your son. I have no idea. What a miracle story. So tell me, is that kind of where your heart for ministry began? When did y'all start with ministry and knowing what God had called you into?
Well, I think we've always had a heart for people. Amanda and I both have just loved being around people, loved ministering to people, loved helping people, just whatever that entailed. We actually came from a church in Medford, Oregon, and Craig Wrench, who you know, Pastor Craig, he was our pastor for about 13 years. So he's the one that prayed us through Miracle Stevie. But while we were there, my wife just told me not to say, and I'm saying, while we were there, we were praying, for Stevie and, the Lord just really just took us to a new level in those years. I went on a work and witness trip to Honduras actually in about 2009. And I was serving on the board in this big church of about 1,000 people. And we were laymen and teaching a men's class and just doing these different things that we knew were purposeful and we knew they were from the Lord. But on my trip to Honduras, I was just having this horrible time and just not enjoying it. And I was missing my family. I was all inward focused and wrong attitude. I was thinking I could be home making money. I've got a business to run. You know, I miss my wife. I miss my kids. Just a horrible attitude for a mission trip, but that's where I was. And it was the third day on that trip. Me and my self-pity junk, I just took a walk down to this dirty, trash-covered little beach. And on my way to that little beach, there was people on our team that was walking with us. And all these little kids coming out of these little shacks. And I was giving them dumb suckers. And then literally, this was the most real encounter I had ever had with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, everybody was gone from my eyesight. I couldn't see anybody. Everybody was gone, even though they were there because they've told me they witnessed this. But I became so overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord. I literally had Jesus standing next to me and I became so consumed with the Holy Spirit, even in my bad attitude moment. I ended up in the dirt, sobbing like a baby. And I heard the Lord speak to me and he said, Steve, I want all of you, you know, cause I had given him some of me. He wanted everything, even my bad attitude. And he said, I want you to be a missionary for me. And so that was really the calling. It was that real and that powerful. And then I came home and shared this with my wife. You know, we had just built our dream home and we're living the American dream. And I said, hey, God wants us to be missionaries and sell everything. But you know, over the course of just a number of days, the Lord called her as well, just as powerfully, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And within less than 2 years, we had sold everything we owned and left for El Salvador as well into missionaries. And we've never really turned back. We've served in a number of places, El Salvador. And then from there, we moved to Haiti and we served in Haiti for a couple of years, served in Dominica, which is in the Caribbean for a couple of years. And now we're in Fort Worth, but we're still very much involved in both of those places, Haiti and Dominica. So we really just see it as a huge blessing that, you know, we were called to ministry, but God didn't call us to just one element or one place. Like he's allowed us to do a lot, which we really love.
That's amazing. I love that. that you have a missionary calling. Many years ago, the Lord called me to be a missionary in America.
Yes.
It sounds so silly to some people to say that, you know, the wealthiest nation in the world. Yeah. And, but man, you know, other countries we know that are sending missionaries to America. And so what I love is the diversity that y'all have gone international in several different places and been here. What have you noticed are the differences between each of the countries that you've been involved in mission work and then, of course, also in Fort Worth? What have you noticed?
I think the biggest difference is how people receive you and how people receive the Lord. Where there is great poverty, and there is here in the U.S. as well. And you know, we see that every day. We purposely go here in Fort Worth to where that is. And you know, we look at it and we pray over it and we reach out to people in it. But when you're somewhere like Haiti, people are so much more open to the gospel because mm-hmm. they truly have nothing else. There's nothing to fulfill them or to distract them. Like in America, it's all about self-gratification. Mm-hmm. In Haiti, you don't have that option. In Dominica, you don't have that option. And so people just seem to be more receptive and hungrier for really the hope that Jesus gives us.
That's good. I love that word. You said a word, desperation.
Yeah,
and that's one of my biggest prayers over our nation is that we become so desperate for his presence and so desperate to see him. And that's an observation I've made, even medical care in some of these countries. You know, now I haven't been to Haiti, but in some of these countries, if prayer doesn't work, there is no ulterior option.
Right.
And so it's so cool. I love how God is weaving your story together, even through that, all the way to seeing that done in your own son and the prayers that work there. And I just, that's amazing. God's really going to use that story. I'm sure he already has. But that's really cool. So for you, what would you say to other city takers? Y'all have been in ministry for many years. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. We all know that, you know. What would you say to other city takers to encourage them?
I think for the biggest, what we've seen and what I've experienced is when we've been in foreign countries, we've always been the only missionaries. We're alone. We don't have a community. Now, God has been so kind to us, and we haven't had differences in culture or anything like that, that really those that loved us the most and prayed for us the most and still pray for us were our nationals. They were our Haitians. And if you haven't been prayed over from a Haitian, you're missing out in life. But the biggest piece of what we do here in Fort Worth is the most important, and I encourage anybody else to do it, is to cultivate community and to have people that are praying for you and to not do it on your own, to have a community that you go out and you do it together and you work very hard to have unity together as brothers and sisters. Amen. To carry no offense, because when all of that is right, it's like it just opens the door for the Holy Spirit to pour out in you, and it floods the cities that you go into.
That's right.
That is awesome. And so you're really saying the team concept. That's been a big boost for you here. Mm-hmm. And I love that, the true fellowship and intimacy of the togetherness. And the other cool thing about it is that God gets all the glory.
Right.
You know, when you operate in a large team and everyone brings a certain gifting mm-hmm. and anointing and all of those things, and then it's like a key, you know, I always say there's different mm-hmm. shapes of the tooth on a key, but that key turns and unlocks. And I love what you're saying about the team concept, because then it's not the one person that is like, oh, I did that. They came, you know, to know the Lord under my leadership or whatever, because there's been prayer, there's been seed sown, there's been all kinds of stuff. That's a beautiful picture.
Steve and I always say that we're better together, and that's how God created the church be. And if we're the church, then we are better together.
Yes, so true. I love that. So what is your favorite story of someone that's been deeply impacted by what God has done in and through y'all?
The Lord, in all of his goodness and kindness, he uses us. In every place that we've been, the Lord, it seems that he brings us very specific people. And Steve and I see a lot of what the Lord has done in us, and what he wants us to do is really launch people into their destinies. And so I think the biggest one is probably our partner in Haiti, Frank Howell. When I first met him, he was the secretary, the administrator for the mission. And he actually had an office across from mine. And so every time I would just kill my Creole language, accidentally tell someone I wanted them to die one time, it's not what I meant. I just meant we were finished working. Anyways, he would rescue me. Like, he would run in and help me in any way that he could. And it's like the Lord showed me right away that Frank Howell had a great calling on his life. And what the Lord wanted me to do was to continuously tell him that he had a great calling on his life, and that he really is that apostolic leader. Yeah. And he never saw that in himself. And so over the years, just continuously speaking what God gives me over him, encouraging him, coming alongside him, but also behind him to really boost him and launch him into what God's called him to do. And so he came to us a few, must have been 6-8 months ago, and he says, I feel like the Lord wants me to plant a church in this new city that we had not been in Fontparnasse in Haiti. And I was like, okay. Well, if that's what God said, then that's what we need to do. And he said, my wife had a dream, and she sees the church, and she sees even the placement and position on the property. And I said, okay, Frankel, I'll see what resources that, you know, that the Lord gives us for you. Well, he actually took all of his savings and bought a piece of property. And in 7 months, there are over 270 people in that church, mostly new converts. So every time I talk to him, he's telling me 10 more people got saved. The month of December, he had 28 new converts. So that's almost one for every day of the month.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is so amazing, because I know you guys have heard me say it, but I really felt like the Lord said, this is the year of abundant harvest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
I love to get to hear that global picture, because I don't always get to hear that. Yeah. I often, you know, you hear around you, but that's so cool that it's doing that in Haiti too. God's doing a good thing. That's so cool. That's a great church formula strategy. Sell all you have. Cash in your account. Go on faith, and the church comes together, right?
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
So for y'all, what is your absolute favorite piece of what you do? I know that you have your hands in many things and many people's lives, but what's the favorite piece of what you do?
Honestly, and if you look at where we've been and what we've done, it's always the people that draw us. Yeah. It's people that we love. It's the people that we want to be with. People are our calling. And so our favorite part is, and especially here in Fort Worth, our favorite part is when we get to go out onto the street. We go into places where nobody else wants to go, where when you drive through, you lock your doors and you roll up your windows. And we just get to go out on the street. We get to love people. We get to meet people. We get to encourage people, pray with people. Every Monday night, we go out and prayer walk this one particular road in Fort Worth that if you say the name of the road, everybody knows that road in Fort Worth. And we minister to guys holding crack pipes. You know, there's prostitution out there. There's sex trafficking. And you don't want to see those things. And sometimes you want to close your eyes and not know that they're there. Because once you see something like that, you can't unsee it. But yet for us, there's been so much joy in just loving mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. and knowing their names, that you know what apartments they live in and you know what their kids' names are and you know what their struggles are, that when you walk in there, it's like you're just bringing that kingdom. You're just bringing that Jesus in there, you know, or to run through and all the little kids are calling you, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. You know, it's amazing.
It's a lot of fun.
It's great.
That is so cool. I love that. All right. Well, of course, the podcast is called Are You Real for a reason. So what do you feel like is the most difficult aspect of what y'all do?
Difficult? Probably funding. Probably, you know, God gives us all these amazing visions and these dreams. And we know that God's the one that always provides. He's the one that always pulls it together. But sometimes he'll give you something that seems so impossible. And you just think, Lord, I know you're calling me to do this, but I have no idea how that's going to happen. But he just pulls it together. So a lot of it's just having to remember to just walk in it anyway. He's going to make it happen. But I think funding, our visions usually always far outweigh our budget. So just trying to depend on that is one of the biggest things. But
that's so good. We've been talking a lot on the podcast about George Mueller.
Yeah.
With him mm-hmm. and just his life of faith and how he prayed and food and all of his things. Yeah. And awesome.
And the cool thing about George Mueller is that he never once asked for money, but God always, always provided it. That's the best fundraising to me ever, is just asking the Lord.
Yes. And I think sometimes when you're so missionally minded to advance his kingdom, it's like you feel like you have to come away from the people yeah. to fundraise. And yeah. that, I mean, that hurts your heart because you're yeah. there to pour in the people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that we'll pray that God will send you someone to help you with that.
And I think in line with that, Christy, one thing I'd love to say to your audience, you yeah. know, about one of the difficult things, but it's also one of the key things. You mentioned earlier in the show about desperation or being desperate. That for us, that is it's a requirement. Every day we have to purposely ask the Holy Spirit to give us greater hunger, greater dependency, greater desperation. I think the minute we start serving out of our strengths and out of what we have or what God, you know, has gifted us with, we can easily fall into that trap of not realizing just how much we need him. You know, it doesn't mean that we neglect what he's given us, but for me personally, I have to be purposeful in saying, Lord, I want a greater hunger. Give me a greater hunger for people. Give me a greater hunger for your presence. Keep me desperate. And so I think that's a lot of, when you said what's difficult and I said funding, if I had all the money I needed, I wouldn't be as desperate, right? So I think that's important. And I think that's one of God's ways of just reminding me, you know, hey, I said in John 15, without me, you really can do nothing. So you can't even fulfill the vision that I gave you unless I make it happen. So I think just for all of us, we need to be desperate, hungry, and dependent on him.
Yes, so good. Well, I loved getting to hear your heart. And, you know, I hear several cities that you're taking. Of course, I know Fort Worth is on the list, but
yeah.
The different ones in Haiti and El Salvador. And I love how the Lord's brought those disciples into your life to really carry out the mission so you get to go to the next.
Yeah.
So I'd like to pray with y'all before you go. Is that okay?
That's great.
All right. God, I thank you so much for Steve and Amanda. God, I thank you for the heart that you have given them that literally represents a piece of your heart that is so rare in our world, God.
I thank you, Lord, that they will stop and pause for the ones that few stop to take a look at. And Lord, I pray abundance over them, God. I pray blessings, God. I pray that you would open the storehouses of heaven and pour your manna down daily, God, in radical and tangible ways that they would even be overcome by your glory and presence, God, as you pour out every need, that you will provide every need according to your riches and glory. I pray that you would bring the Aaron and the Hur alongside them to hold their arms up when the battle is weary and when it is long. I thank you for them. Hem them in behind and before and lay your hand upon them. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much for coming to be a part of Are You Real Linked? It was so amazing to get to hear your heart and what you're doing in the city of Fort Worth and even really globally around the world. And so as we close today, I want to remind our audience that you can catch some of the other host, Are You Real Fit, comes out every week with Casey Fuller, and get on and catch some of her tips in fitness, which are really amazing and will spur you on toward your goals. And remember, until we meet again, rest in His love, dance with great joy, and aspire to go higher each day. This is Christy Austin, your host of Are You Real Linked. Be blessed today, and we will see you again soon.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Linked and encourage you to visit rureal.org for more resources based on today's episode, as well as links to more Christian podcasts in our network and the inspiration to help you enkindle everyone around you. God bless and good day.